Your Tangible Assets Advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We are the name you can trust. Coins Plus is always actively buying and selling all forms of precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, rhodium, copper, nickel, actually not a lot of that, but some. And we specialize in coins, collections, estates, accumulations. We're always buying and we're always selling. We, one of our niches is helping people to build precious metals based portfolios. We're pretty good at it. We've been doing it a long time. We like to balance the portfolio out a little bit. We use sort of a pyramid structure, you know, where the base is precious metals, bullion, and then the mid is kind of a, what we call semi-numismatic. That's value-based precious metals. It's the old $5, $10, $20 gold pieces that trade so close to their gold value right now. It's ridiculous. Same with a lot of silver coins and silver dollars and things like that. And then at the top, we like to put in some numismatic products, which seem to have the most long-term steady growth pattern and the strongest holding of any of the holdings. But, you know, it just depends on the portfolio, the size of it. We've done some significant portfolios that have been primarily numismatic, and people have done extremely well. We've had a lot of stuff where, you know, when the markets get too high in one, we'll move them to another or whatever. But that's what we specialize in. You can call Coins Plus at 444-0044 in Spokane. That's area code 509 outside the area. Toll free 877-TAP-COIN. Our store hours are Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. And so we're always available to help you there. You can go get us. Email us through our website at coinsplus.com as well. A lot of times we like to call people back because often their questions are not worded right, or, you know, they're trying to get information and they're not sure how to ask. And a lot of times there's a lot more information that we like to discuss with you. We also, obviously, maybe you know, maybe you don't, but we deal in diamonds as well. We are a we have a sister company, Clock Tower Jewelry. We're not really aggressively pursuing the jewelry industry, but we do wholesale diamonds to the public. It's very interesting. We do a lot of newlyweds. That tends to be your primary diamond buyer, or major anniversaries, things like that. But if you're interested in that, or you know someone who is, you definitely have to have them come see us. There's nobody anywhere that's going to give them a better deal on a diamond. I've given a lot of education and warnings over the radio. Price isn't everything on a diamond. There's such a vast array of quality differences. And when you get into the Zales and the Weissfields and the Fred Meyers and all that, they're using literally industrial grade diamonds that they're just very, very, very poor quality, highly included, heavily colored. I went into Fred Meyer a while ago. I mean, the whole showcase is the diamonds are brown, at least to my eyes, and my eyes are trained well. And they keep them all the same color, so you can't tell. They're literally, I mean, brown, in my opinion, yellowish, browny, but full of inclusions. I mean, we've had people bring in stuff they've paid exorbitant prices for that's nothing. It's just shattered glass. It's so full of inclusions. And so, you know, our prices are, you know, even better. And then we'll have, you know, we'll sell nice quality pieces, you know, VVS1 or VS1, and we'll have good color, and we'll educate the buyer enough so they know what they're getting. And, you know, it matters. I mean, it really does. And even from an investor's standpoint, I mean, just like everything else, gold, rare coins and all that, took a little dip here for a few years while, you know, other things were going on. We have gold coming back alive as we speak. I mean, today gold broke 1,500 again. That is very, very significant. That is a huge turning point, a massive, what they call break point. And so you know, gold closed at 1501.90. So basically, in a nutshell, if you're, you know, you're wanting to do it, I mean, we've got people are like, what's causing gold to go up? I talked to a big gold, massive gold corporation owner yesterday, and we were talking about it. And, you know, one thing you got to keep in mind is just simple old-fashioned inflation. I mean, Obama, you know, from the time Bush was in office, Bush rolled in at 2-point-some trillion in deficit. When Obama won the election, well, the election was coming up and he was the leading candidate. He had won the election, but before he took office, he forced George Bush, hypothetically, after 9/11, I think. No, this is different. That was the economic crash of 08, that started in 08, the bailout deal. But anyway, he forced George Bush to push a massive, you know, $5.4 trillion TARP funding through that was supposed to be for mortgages. And then Hank Paulson, who was the CEO of Goldman Sachs, was the Secretary of the Treasury. And he, you know, he said after they got the money, and Ben Bernanke, who was the Fed chairman, both said, well, it's too late to help the mortgage industry, so we're just going to spread the money out to the banks. Well, they enriching themselves to such an extraordinarily extreme level. Hank Paulson made himself a billionaire off of Goldman Sachs stock. Goldman Sachs had the most profitable quarters they'd ever had, even though they weren't hurting after the stock market or after the market crash and the real estate bubble and all that stuff. And it was a scandal. So essentially what they did is they took our deficit from about 3.8 to they added like 5.4. It pushed it up over 9 trillion. But the fact of the matter is that was pushed through on really by Obama, even though they tell people like Bush that it's absolutely incontrovertible that it had to be done, that they told him that if it didn't get done, that, you know, the economy would collapse. Well, you know, we'd have had a hard time. But America's made it through a lot of hard times, and economically especially. Before they pushed the Federal Reserve through, they started to have banker-created recessions and all kinds of stuff like that. Specifically to prepare people to embrace the concept of the Federal Reserve. Around the turn of the century, everyone was getting pro-socialism and things were just really crazy. And it was a huge scandal. And I mean, in looking back, understanding money and the whole situation, it was a definite scandal. It was a lie. And we've paid for it dearly since. From the creation of the Coinage Act in 1792... which, by the way, said anyone who debases the currency shall be put to death. From 1792 till, you know, around 1900-ish, 1905, 1908, the buying power of the dollar had gone up fivefold, which means what cost a nickel in 1792 was only a penny around the early 1900s. Okay, so we got a fivefold increase in the spending power. So you could put away gold or silver and hold on to it, and it would grow. You didn't have to worry about savings. I mean, that was your savings. Your money was your savings. And it's God ordained, God created. They're divinely created elements. Someone asked me a while ago, you know, how they choose what the precious metals are. Well, the precious metals have divine properties. They're unique to all the metals. The basic precious metals are gold, silver, platinum, palladium, rhodium. Gold and silver. Gold is not subject. Now, this is interesting if you think about it. Gold is not subject to the second law of thermodynamics, which is entropy, that everything is constantly moving towards a state of disorder and chaos, basically dust. Gold does not do that, ever. Nothing that's naturally occurring in the universe can destroy it. You can dilute it. You can melt it. If you melt it, it just makes it better. It purifies it. That's why God uses it as an example in his word of purification. Because the more you beat on it, and the more you heat it, and the more you do to it, the better it becomes. That's a unique property for sure. Silver was made for everyday coinage. We now have tin and copper nickel. We don't even have copper really much in our coins anymore. It's mostly cupro nickel, but it's just they're just garbage. And they want them to be as inexpensive to make as possible. But when we had silver in our hands, they prevented the spread of disease. And silver kills all living organisms, microorganisms, within 4 seconds of contact. Now, the 4 seconds applies to some of the harshest bacteria. The average bacteria and virus that, you know, causes colds and flus, and it kills in less than a second. It's like 3 or 4 tenths of a second. So it prevented the spread of disease in daily trade and activity. So that's an incredible property. So people use colloidal silver, and it's got a lot of cool properties that way. Of course, if people use too much, they turn blue. So don't do that. Then when you got platinum and palladium, they basically are used like in catalytic converters. They draw out impurities out of the air. Really incredible what they use. And a catalytic converter is just some thin wires of platinum, very thin. And they pull all the carbon monoxide out. They pull out unnecessary, carbon dioxide and other impurities. If you actually have a platinum grill, I know laboratories, really high-end laboratories, will have platinum grills in their air vent intakes, and it literally collects everything. It's absolutely unbelievable how it is made to clean the air, and that became very popular, obviously, in catalytic converters and modern machinery and things like that. It's changed a bit. Platinum's gone down. Palladium's gone up. Part of the reason is because of the increase in electronics. Although platinum is very good with high speed and high heat electronics, the automobile industry remachined and switched to palladium years back. And since then, platinum's come down and palladium's gone way up. Palladium is 50% higher than platinum, although platinum is a better air purifier than palladium. But palladium has some of its own, properties of elasticity and non-crystallization and all this stuff under heat. It basically can tolerate anything pretty much you put it up against. It's used in x-rays and things like that. But it works just as well as platinum in air purification, nanoparticles, they call it, surfactants, electrons, I won't get into all that, but you get my point. And so a lot of the automakers remachined years back and switched to palladium, and now that platinum's down, there's a possibility they'll go back the other way. I'm not sure exactly what they'll do, but that's interesting. And rhodium, the last precious metal, is actually known because it's the only metal that will molecularly adhere to all the other elements. I mean, think about that. That's pretty crazy. So you can't gold plate certain elements. I'm not, I could tell you some, but you can't gold plate titanium. There's a bunch you can't gold plate, but rhodium, you can rhodium plate anything at all. And its molecular structure alloys or combines with the others. So that's how they got chosen. They're literally precious metals. They have special properties that are basically defy common sense or, normal physics, and everybody that knows it is blown away by it. And people have known it for a long, long time. Thousands and thousands of years, we're always told that men were, so ignorant and we're getting so much smarter. Well, I don't totally buy that. I mean, you see all the old Greek statues that are all buffed out with muscle. They had gotten into already using hormones back then, and the gladiators they dug up, I think 20 years ago or something, under one of the Colosseums, an area where the gladiators used to live. And they actually found syringes, glass syringes, with metal needles, just like us, and rubber, everything we use today. And when they took samples of what was in the syringe, it was bull testosterone. So they were giving the gladiators bull testosterone. That's, you know, to make them amazing, I guess, to the people, and also to give them the aggression to go out there, which is interesting because it's like the NFL today. I mean, these guys are on steroids, and people don't realize it, and they, you know, they get drug tested, but they have like 4 months warning in advance, and they use masking agents, and they test at random, and they tell them ahead of time 4 months who's being randomly tested. And you know, and it's interesting because people, we worship the human body. We worship their ability to perform their God-given talent. Steroids obviously increase that, and their recuperation time. People want these, you know, unreasonable monsters in the NFL, and yet they condemn the drugs they use to achieve that goal. I'm not condoning it. I'm just telling you what I know. I knew a number of people that went into the NFL and things like that and had those experiences, you know, where they tried to get them to take stuff or they did give them stuff or, you know. And I had a particular friend that, you know, went to the New England Patriots and refused, and he was a running back, and, he, you know, they basically bullied him until they injured him. And he ended up with a settlement, and it just was all because he wouldn't take steroids. So I guess basically man's not foolish. They've always been able to figure stuff out. The precious metals they figured out long ago. Precious metals are money. Gold and silver are money. If you believe in the Bible, then you have to believe in precious metals. God said they're money. He said it's his. God, even Christ talked about, compared gold and silver to mammon in his speeches, parables, and discussions. And he, you know, he knew gold and silver was money. Mammon was man-made money. It was the spirit of money, the spirit of I'm a self-made man, the spirit of fiat currency. And so we, like I said, as I started, from the Coinage Act of 1792 till just before the Federal Reserve was concocted, our dollar increased in spending power 500%. From the creation of the Federal Reserve till today, we have had a reduction in buying value. In other words, our spending power of our dollar has dropped over about 99.5%, which is 1/200. So for everything that costs a dollar in 1913 now costs $200. That's how powerful a dollar was back then. They've devastated the economy. The reason I'm saying this is just to explain, I think this is one of the leading factors in why metals are starting to come alive, is because, I mean, obviously people are getting uncomfortable with a lot that's going out. We got an election coming up. But I think people also, well, not people, but I think the inflation of the creation of from George Bush, who basically ended at $3.8 trillion, to now where we're at $22 trillion deficit. In what, 10 years or 11 years or whatever it is, you know, 10 or 11 years, that's exorbitant. We've added more debt, you know, Obama added more debt, spent more deficit debt, whatever you want to call it, under his administration than the United States had spent from its inception till that date. Absolutely exorbitant. Well, Trump has kept it rolling. There's no such thing as a budget anymore. They put everything they want in it. They don't balance the budget. They don't talk about it. They don't try. Everybody wants to get reelected. Both sides are the same in a lot of ways. They're very different in others. And so I would recommend, you know, you should have a nice balanced portfolio, whatever you do. I would not be anywhere near stocks personally. I think that's absolute financial suicide. I can't tell you. You know, these indexes won't go up higher. I've discussed they're artificial. They remove and replace stocks. They use weighted moving averages, and they show returns that you and I can't achieve buying as individuals, and that's a fact. And precious metals-based assets are the best way to preserve and protect your money. I mean, they're always there. They're always liquid. You know, they might go up. They might go down. They're going up now. I can guarantee you that. But, you know, you have them. And that's the nice thing about it, is they're always there. They're always there. You know, so we're sitting basically heading into the end of the year. around 1500 on gold. You know, it was just back in August of 15, or no, it was a little later, probably the end of 2015, gold bottomed out at about 1050. And so, you know, in 4 years, we're up about whatever that is, $450, which is about, you know, it's a nice 10% a year return, which is good. That's what we want, is just a steady growth pattern. You want the money, and essentially what it's hypothetically supposed to do is maintain at the minimum with inflation, okay? Back before that, you know, when we had the big run that peaked out in 2011 where gold tapped out at a high of around 1900, it'd been overshot. Fidelity Magellan, the largest mutual fund in the world, had come in and started playing futures and buying physical metal futures contracts. They were buying long contracts while they gathered up metal, and then they began to dump the metal and buy short contracts. And they have such a massive amount of money to work with that they began to tank it. And then it recuperated, and then Obama had a meeting with the central bankers, all of them globally, and they began a manipulation program where the central banks would buy these exorbitantly large futures contracts, like 20 million ounces of silver at a time, which the reserves only had about 700,000 ounces in it. And it's only for them to do. This is what happened under the Hunt brothers in 1980. They created the COMEX alongside the Federal Reserve. Now, remember, with the Federal Reserve came the 16th Amendment. Income tax was forbidden by our founders. They hated it. They said it was slavery, that God gave you the ability to earn a dollar, okay, that was your ability to create. It's alongside the thought process of patents and trademarks and everything that they put in there, which is very wise because they understood intellectual property. They understood God gives you each an ability and a talent to create something special, that each one of us is on this earth with a purpose. And, you know, I don't care if you're a believer, non-believer, people, you can look. You know, there's been these 40-year, the 40-year identical twin study, where they tracked down these twins that had been separated since birth, and they'd be in, you know, separate cities. They wouldn't know anything about each other. They'd find them, and they'd be wearing the same clothes, married to essentially the same guy, and they got married around the same time, and they'd, you know, they'd have the same number of kids and the same car and the same music taste and the same job. And it tells you a lot about genetics, which is really interesting. So there's the talents part of it. Now, inside of that, we have our spirit, which gives us intellect, which is why twins will have different personalities, because of the spirit. But in general, we're given a set of talents, a set of abilities. We've got, you know, there's probably a list of talents, you know, from looks and physical ability to, you know, musical ability. People will have, you know, incredible talents in music or, you know, writing or whatever it may be. Mathematics, you get these geniuses that are just beyond your wildest dreams. I've been around them, and it's just unbelievable, the stuff they've created. You can't even comprehend it, so far beyond. They say mathematics is the language of God. The entire universe can be explained mathematically, which is every bit of it. It's really phenomenal. The biggest problem we have is we know the math that applies to our personal location here on Earth. We don't know the math. Well, we have properties of physics that we apply here, and we don't know that if they apply it all throughout the universe, but from our vantage point, they appear to. But anyway, people have special talents, special abilities, special gifts, and we need to adapt to that and tie into that and work with that. And that's why our founders forbade the income tax, because it was your right to go out and make money and to prosper and to give and to, you know, to charity. And the government takes so much money now. So to wrap up what I was talking about, the Federal Reserve. So since the Federal Reserve was we've had a massive hyperinflation. We've got hyperinflationary activity now. I mean, where's the world going? I don't know. I can tell you right now, you've got Amazon has 50% of the online retail sales. Walmart, you know, is probably, I think, the largest, I think it is the largest employer in the United States. Their average income is a low hourly wage. I read an article recently that as much as 30% of Walmart employees are on food stamps. And so as all these jobs are being created, we're losing, you know, income. And the income does go to the top. You know, I'm not anti-corporate. But when people complain about the rich getting richer and all that, there's truth to it. I mean, there was a middle class. It's quickly eliminated. And we've got more and more billionaires and more poverty-stricken people because they lie to us about what inflation is. The Consumer Price Index lies to us, tells us it's 1.5% or 2 or 1.2 or depends when you check. They never give us nice high numbers that like shadowstats.com has, the real statistics, where inflation is 6, 7, or 8%. That's why you look at real estate. Think about it. I've talked about the Consumer Price Index under Clinton was altered, and he removed food, excluded. It's called an exclusionary index now that does not include the majority portions of majority representation from the categories of food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs. Now, those are the things to look at, and those are the things that you spend 85% of your disposable income on. Food. You know, food's gone. I've discussed this, but food's gone through the roof. I mean, grocery store food's crazy. I mean, when I was a kid, my mom got mad at me. I had a 50-cent piece in this big beer can savings bank thing in my bedroom, and I went down and bought a box of Captain Crunch on my bike, and it was a huge box, and it was less than 50 cents. It was 37 cents, and I got 13 cents back. And now I look, and the boxes are at best half the size, and they're almost $6. That's some pretty serious inflation just in the last, you know, 45 years or whatever it is. It's pretty excessive. You know, real estate, everyone knows real estate's going crazy. I talk to a lot of people that say this economy's nuts. It makes no sense. Real estate's going crazy. The stock market just keeps climbing. But everyday expenditures, you know, retail businesses are not doing that well at all. And I have a friend who's a national, you know, one of the largest national watch dealers. So, and he sent me some pictures. Downtown Miami's boarded up. I mean, all the small mom and pop shops are gone. It's all going to Amazon and, you know, Walmart, and people are buying junk and they don't want quality anymore. The older generation still does. I have some relatives that own a one of the, I think it's the oldest standing family-owned business in Montana. I think they incepted in 1889, and they sell fine men's clothing, suits, and things like that. And they've talked, I was spoke to them recently, and they talked about, you know, dress codes have absolutely changed. People don't want quality anymore. They want, kids will even go order their whole wedding tux set from online from Men's Warehouse and then expect, you know, the people I know to do all the hemming and adjustment, and this, they have to fix the suits and stuff because they're built so poorly. I remember I got out of college, and I had a couple suits from them, and I got a couple suits from Men's Warehouse. Well, the suits I got from my my family or my relatives or, you know, godparents, I still have to this day. The suits I got from Men's Warehouse, I had to put patches on the sleeves 6 months in. And 6 months later, they were falling apart and went in the garbage. And that's the difference. That's where we're at now. The Targets, the Shopcos, the whole mentality. People don't wear suits anymore. They dress different. Things have just changed, right? And our cost of living's going up. Our income salaries not increasing commensurately, et cetera. So you see what's going on. So I think that there's something coming. And the Democrats are on a rampage. A few things I really want to touch on. For those of you who don't know, I was gone for probably the last week or so, and three of the last three shows were reruns. But, you know, as I was gone, I just took some notes I want to cover here. You know, I kind of wrote down about the Amazon and Capital One hacking breach. I talked about hacking here recently. You have to be so careful. If you have Capital One cards or whatever, they got 106 million. They got information on 106 million people. People are starting to get phone solicits. You know, you get those phone solicits on your cell phone, which is getting really rampant. And it's because they're capturing information. They're capturing your information through hacking. The only reason the information comes out from these corporations is when they're put in a situation where certain employees know that are that jeopardize their, you know, security. In other words, jeopardize the secret. So the, if they have to come out with it, they will. But if they don't, they won't. They will not tell if they don't have to. And so there's all these other companies getting hacked. And then there's always the times that they don't even know they've been hacked and all this information's been downloaded. So people are starting to get, you know, these fake – they can robocall and use fake phone numbers. I will literally get phone calls on my cell phone that say they're coming from my business. And so, of course, I answer them, and then they're not. And they're so they have all this information on you, your work number, your home number, and they start to track you. I mean, it's not good. You get what I'm saying. You need to be aware of that. It doesn't matter what you put on your phone. I mean, they, you know, they basically, they just keep coming because they don't obey the laws at all whatsoever. And so, okay, the big thing, the big news is these mass shootings, right? We had El Paso and Dayton, Texas. And then we had, you know, the one that everyone overlooks all the time is the number of, you know, shootings in like Chicago, right? I don't know if you follow this, but I mean, they, okay, so in Dayton, I think 22 died, and in El Paso, 32 died. Terrible shootings. They don't talk about Dayton much because the guy was an absolute left-wing radical socialist, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren follower. The other guy in El Paso was, they call him a white supremacist because he was ranting about minorities taking over the country and pouring in. And then, of course, today, before Trump visits Texas, I think tomorrow, they had a raid where they raided 680 illegal immigrants out of one business. You know, so there's some truth to it. I think the thing is it's not the race of the people. It's how they're getting here. If you take people that come in legally and they have to go through the vetting process, and then they have to go through 7 years before they can seek citizenship. And once they do, they have to go to an extensive education program. I know people that have gone through this process. Their knowledge of the Constitution in America is phenomenal. It's beautiful. It's incredible. This is what it's built on. That's what the real complaint is. If they go in the left, Democrats know. If these people go through those programs, they will not tend towards democracy, towards the Democratic Party, socialism, near as much. They've shown in studies, people that go through the citizenship program, according to this study that I'm reading here, are 4.3 times more likely to be conservative than those who don't. And so essentially, those who don't, there's like a, you know, I think it's, let's see here, like 16.6% of them are conservative. And those who go through the program, you're looking at like 66 or 67% conservative. So they get to know America. They understand what it's about. They believe in capitalism, et cetera. Capitalism is not the problem that's created corruption. It's corruption that's created corruption in capitalism, and it's and there should be regulations on that. So anyway, you got these mass shootings. They're completely politicized, folks. This is we have just hit rock bottom on this stuff. I mean, the left absolutely jumps on the bandwagon. They love it. They want – every time someone shoots, they're like, oh, it's got to be a right-winger. And then they come out – in many cases, they've lied. They've said it's a white supremacist. There was cases where it turns out to be a black man, Muslim, and they just shut up. The news stops. You don't hear another word. That's the real truth of it, and they glory in it. They revel in it. They want to use it, and every time they go into full activist mode, you know, we're going to confiscate your weapons. Joe Biden, who I think is thicker than a post, I don't think he's got all eight cylinders popping anymore, or as some would say, he's a few cards short of a Dacker, or whatever you want to call it. he's not well. He changes. He's a chameleon. He acclimates to whatever he's told or whatever's hot, whatever's politically expedient. And, you know, first he came out and said to Jake Tapper on CNN that Jake's like, well, is there a way we can confiscate all the guns in America? And Biden says, well, I don't know of any legal manner. I haven't found any legal manner in which we can do this, which tells me that him and Obama tried. And then later on, you know, these other radicals that are running for office are screeching and crying out, you know, to confiscate guns. You've got guys like Beto O'Rourke that are just foul-mouthed, destructive devices that did never have a chance, a snowball's chance, and you know what, of becoming president, and the media just runs them, and their mouths are foul and vulgar and destructive and hateful, and then they call the right hateful and intolerant when, you know, the right knows that the left is deceived. The left thinks the right is evil. The conservatives are evil. They're not evil, but it's that worldly, you know, man calls what is good evil, you know, God calls what is, you know, or man calls what is good evil and what's evil good, you know, as opposed to, it's the opposite of God, essentially. That's what we're up against. These people, you know, Joseph Goebbels, as I've spoke to a relative a lot lately, you know, he said, you tell a lie long enough, the people will believe it. But the bigger the lie, the more they'll believe it. And the media just harps and harps and harps. We've got the New York Times, for the first time in history, changing headlines based on tweets. Can you believe that? I mean, they used to be the Post or paper of record back in the day where, you know, if they said it, you could go to the bank. Now they're literally changing their story headlines based on tweets from left-wing radicals. And so where we're at in this whole process, folks, is this divisiveness where Obama started. I mean, they're blaming Trump, you know, for these shootings, which is so terrible. I mean, it's just so terrible. These started under Obama. I mean, Bush, we had the, you know, the terrorist 9/11, and then, you know, we didn't have any other real terrorist activities until Obama, and then they kind of went rampant. Obama just started this inflammatory, divisive speech. He was a president that could have united us. He could have absolutely united this country. Instead, he's inflamed racial tension. He's absolutely caused hatred and division, you know, black versus white, gay versus straight, left versus right, you know, man versus woman. Everything, you name it, right? I mean, you got it, you know, and I love, you know, they got all this women, you know, are strong and independent and, you know, and they're equal to men. And then the next thing, you know, they're weak and they're, you know, they can't defend themselves and men are evil. And the next thing, women are strong and they're liberated and they're powerful. And, you know, they just pollute your mind with rubbish, with deception. And it's just, everything's becoming unbiblical. That, to me, is the bottom line. And I'll tell you, with these shootings and stuff, folks, okay, you know, we are no longer a moral and righteous nation, as John Adams said. He said, in order for this republic to survive, it needs to be a moral and religious people. We're no longer that. We're kicking, you know, the Ten Commandments out of everywhere. We're kicking, you know, any crosses of Christ, any reference to religion. We, you know, we consider atheism a religion with equal rights to Christianity. We have all these people who are misinformed, who, you know, don't think people have a right to speak free speech on public property, government-owned property, totally lie. You know, we've got hate speech now, which they can label everybody's a racist. I mean, these are end times. I mean, these are literally end times behaviors, and they're becoming more and more rampant as we, you know, as we progress towards that time. And it's going so fast, it's driving me nuts. Just some other quick things to touch on, you know, with like these shootings, folks, things to think about. They have got, you know, they've politicized it every time. It's just so cruel and rotten. I can't even believe it. We don't, our kids don't have universal respect for our leaders anymore, for our president and on down. And our leaders don't have respect for the rule of law in a lot of cases. I mean, we've just got all kinds of stuff going on. But the other thing is video games and the internet. These people are getting brainwashed. They have what's called confirmation bias I discussed a while ago. When you just circulate within a group of people that never challenge you and they all agree with you, you get confirmation bias. You start to think that's the norm. You think that's the baseline, okay? That's why these actors and actresses will come out and they'll spew these, you know, political rants that they think all of America is going to agree with them. They don't understand because they, you know, they encircle themselves with people that are in, complete continuity or congruency with their thought processes and or their political points of view. And I don't understand it because just, you know, having the Holy Spirit in you, you just know right from wrong. They don't care about that. They just care about winning and losing. And the hatred is terrible. I saw on CNN the other night, two nights ago, I was driving home listening to Mark Levin. And Mark Levin said, you know, he said, all these left-wing channels, MSNBC, CNN, whatever, they always have on, you know, they interview everybody, but everybody liberal, right? And he said, but you know who they don't interview is clergy, right? So guess what? The next day on CNN, guess what they have on? A Catholic priest. So the first one they have on is a total flaming liberal, just, you know, doesn't even know, has this twisted perception of, well, Jesus would go across the border and bring these illegal immigrants in. No, he would not. And they come up with all this stuff about how Christ reached out and helped all these people, and he just loved everybody. That's true. He loved every one of us, and he still does. He loves each and every one of us, and every one of us has a chance to be redeemed, and God can work phenomenal miracles, and Christ, you know, died for your sins if you believe it and receive it and all that. Yes, but, you know, God, Jesus would respect the authorities, and Jesus would respect the, you know, the border. Jesus would not be encouraging anybody to break the law other than if the law conflicted with the laws of God. That's the only time, because God is the ultimate authority. And if man's law contradicts God's law, then that's why when it says, if Christ set you free, you're free indeed. So many, you know, revolts and rebellions through history, I mean, the true history is they come at the hands of Christianity. People are converted to Christianity, and the Holy Spirit comes in, and their eyes are open, and they see spiritual truths, and they will rebel to free themselves. And then you get the typical situation like in America, tons of lives are lost and you know, stolen, and, you know, people sacrifice incredible things. And then generations go by, and we get intellectually lazy. We start to twist history. Like, my kids didn't even know what the Holocaust was until I put them in a private school and Christian school. They twist. They are teaching these kids. They're making them good for nothing other than to be activists. That's what they're coming out of high school with. They, you know, they spend however many hours, 1,300 hours a year in class, you know, for 12 years, almost 16,000 hours, the equivalent of 8 business years in 8 professional years in business. And after the equivalent of 8 40-hour year work weeks, they come out illiterate and incompetent in math. I saw a bunch of statistics. It's absolutely out of control. These kids are now, they're coming out of our high schools. They can't even do basic math. They can't even write or read. It's terrible. This is what we're producing under this liberal, you know, national education program. And it's really tearing us apart. You know, I watched the Democrats fundraising within hours of these shootings. And then there, and you get that Castro, whatever his first name is, I can't remember, out of Texas, who, you know, nothing's ever his fault. He's a mayor, and oh no, everything's conservative's fault. These shootings, et cetera, they blame everybody else. But then he starts doxing all of these Republicans that have contributed to Trump. And these aren't billionaire corporations. These are just people. He goes online and he posts not just all – doxing is where people put out all your personal information. So they start doxing all these donors to Trump and saying, here's the people that have contributed to the hatred and violence and murder of our citizens. Well, what do you think is going to happen to those people? That's the thing. You talk about a congressman or a public leader, a guy who's running – well, no, he's a congressman is what he is. He actually was the mayor, and then he's a congressman, and now he's running for president. And, a guy who's a U.S. congressman. He's attacking his own constituents. They're his own constituents. They were out of his district. I mean, that is that right? Does he just represent those that voted for him or that agree with him? No. That's the problem with the left, and it's a problem. I hope it's not a problem with us, folks. You got to be open-minded. You got to be sharp. You got to be the sharpest tool in the shed. You got to know your stuff. You got to think. If you know what someone's objection or argument's going to be, you got to prepare yourself to discuss it. And you got to get the facts together. You got to know what you're talking about so that you can defend yourself. Facts and evidence, okay? Get away from hype. I've spent some time with people recently that are very liberal and have absolute, just the biggest bucket of garbage statistics. Everything is skewed to their favor. Just garbage. I think they get off of MSNBC or something. Just trash. Just absolute foolishness. And, of course, I corrected him. But I'm telling you. You've got to know your facts, at least if you're on the side of what is right and true and just, as God says. So let's pump down here. So we got the doxing thing, where they had the full address and phone numbers of the donors. And then you look back at that kind of stuff. The left is always looking to defame and, tear things apart. And I'm sorry I'm kind of on a political rant, but this is what's tearing our country apart. I mean, Obama even had the founders of Black Lives Matter in the White House and Antifa and these people that are just violent, horrible, wretched, destructive vandals in the White House. And they always blame everything on politics because they're always looking for that next step, that one more person, that next vote. You got to blame somebody. Everything in America now blames somebody. This is the attorney, the litigious thought process that we've come to. Nothing's ever your responsibility. No. The most successful people out there take personal responsibility for everything in their lives to an extreme where if someone mistreats them, they go back. I do this and I think, man, did I do something wrong there? Did I deserve that? And it's self-reflection and repentance. And that's the thought process of true godly success. The thought process of society now is victimization. Everybody's a victim of some sorts. That's what they tell everyone, except white males, which is now the group to hate, the group of, vitriol, I guess. It's scary. We'll just say that. Basically, to solve these problems, these shootings, people are like, how do we do it? Confiscate guns? No. You have to unite and work together. Everybody, I hate more than anything, everybody wants to label you a political party. So we've got to work together and throw away politics to solve and end these things. The El Paso, Chicago, Dayton shooting. But the thing is it's the secret to solving this, folks, is simple. It's morality, ethics, integrity. It's the old way, right? The way this country was founded, the way it was designed to be. And we have abandoned that. I hope you are wise enough to understand that. But when you look at, Timothy in the end times, verses and he talks about what people are going to be like in the end times, I'm seeing it. I'm just seeing it. And I've actually, kind of not long ago, a few years ago, I thought, well, a lot of these are human traits, of sin. But no, it's so much more than that. He says, but realize this. Well, let me get to that here in a minute. Let's see. We've got, well, I had some other interesting stuff. Just so your knowledge, you know, Joe Biden, the old vice president, has come out and said if he became president, he'd want a program to go door to door to confiscate guns. Okay? So what do you do about that? Well, you go get a gun. I mean, you know, you have a Second Amendment right to bear arms. Our founding fathers put that in there for a very good reason. The answer, this, I don't know why, it's like, okay, it's like children. It's like, oh, they're misbehaving with that toy. Take the toy away. No, adults have a right to bear arms. The solution to these shootings is to arm and train more people. And there's got to be a program nationally. Arm America, where people, you know, someone that Castro was saying, well, in Walmart, you know, we have open carry and concealed carry and all this stuff. And he said, you know, there was 1,000 to 2,000 people in Walmart that day. No, there wasn't. There was 3,000. They say, well, the numbers all vary. 1,000 to 2,000 in the mall, okay? Not in Walmart. Walmart can't hold that many. But the point is, he, you know, so they skew the numbers. And then they say, well, you know, they have all these guns. He goes, well, there had to be people carrying guns all throughout that Walmart. And that didn't do any good. No, obviously there weren't. Because if there were, they would have been firing back. I can't imagine. Maybe guys are big enough cowards that they go hide in the corner while they have a gun in their pocket. But I sure wouldn't. You know, I'd hide and lure the guy in and take him out and or whatever. But I mean, they obviously weren't carrying enough. We need to carry more. We need people trained and competent in the possession and handling of firearms. We need to have a national program, not a national registry, but a national program of education where we prepare and train and certify people at different levels so that, you know, people can go through an extensive training and an extensive course to get the highest level of rating and approval. And then they can carry in, you know, any environment or something, make a law like that. And, you know, I thought, well, what if a Muslim or, you know, activist, jihadist lied and went through the whole program so he could carry guns too? Well, that's fine. Because all the honest, good, you know, red-blooded Americans with the guns around them will take care of business. Franklin was quoted, I read years back, that he said, about the right to bear arms, he said, if every man carries upon himself the ability to take another man's life, he said, society has a wonderful way of regulating itself. And the thing is, that's why they call guns equalizers. One guy can be 6'9" and 440 pounds, and another guy can be 4'9" and 110 pounds. And if they both have a 44 Magnum, which you actually wouldn't carry, but it's too big, if they had a 9mm or a 45 ACP semi-automatic, they're equal. And each man can defend himself. It's becoming the Wild West. What happened is these cities formed, these bandits and robbers would come out, and they'd rape and pillage and maim and kill, and they'd get away with it because there was no security, you know. And then these posses would come out and once in a while catch them and hang them, or they'd rob a train or whatever. And then eventually, you know, people would be deputized as sheriffs, and you've all seen the movies about the bad guys that, you know, take over the town. But, you know, over time what happened is they got more federal backing and more federal authority, and they, you know, they chased people down. And if people crossed state lines and all that, it became federal. And I mean, that's what we need. People are talking in Chicago, we need the National Guard. I mean, Chicago's got 50 shootings a weekend, about average. 50 killings by gunshot. I mean, what a mess. And then you get the Rahm Emanuels of the world, who was the mayor, who was the chief of staff under Obama, and he just defends it and sticks up for it and doesn't even try, doesn't care, you know, doesn't care. And so I think you get my point, okay, is we've got to have a religious and moral revolution. We've got to have a spiritual revival. That is it. We need to stop griping and complaining and lying and the reporters glorifying anti-American rhetoric. You know, and it, like I said, Mark Levin on the radio said they never interview clergy. And then the next day, CNN had clergy. First, they had a left-winger and that agreed. Then they had a black pastor come on, and they tried to get him to badmouth Trump, and he wouldn't. And the guy started to say, oh, you support racism and mass murder and slaughtering and all this stuff. And he's like, no. Well, you know what? People who love their country don't slaughter people or vandalize private property as acts of protest. You know, the problem is we're getting to the point where we celebrate people who reject our national anthem and social justice warriors and, you know, the Antifa flag burners and flag haters and, you know, people that just sit around and trash talk our country, AOC. These people just, they hate it. People who love their country don't beat and slaughter people or vandalize property as an act of protest. You know, the fake news blames the shootings on white supremacists incited by Trump. The one guy's letter in Dayton, I think, was, you know, just total left-wing propaganda. And you got to understand, fake news is real. Propaganda is real. We've got it going on. 2 Timothy, but realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, bingo, ding, 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 although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. The guy on CNN, when that pastor was on, he said, well, that he wouldn't agree. And he said, oh, well, that's not a very godly or Christ-like, you know, perspective. And the guy said, well, you know, when I went to seminary, and the guy said, well, you know, I really appreciate you trying to give us your biography, but, you know, it doesn't cover up for your racism and all. And the guy's black, and it's like, dude, we have lost our cookies. We have this form of godliness, this self-righteous arrogance, piety, extreme piety, although they deny the power of God. And this is what we've become. This is where we're going. I'm sorry, but that's a fact. I hate having to be a truth teller, but I guess God made me the watchman on the wall. This is who we are, where we're going. You know, folks, and unless we go back in time to the constitutional reign and thought process, there's no other solution. And yes, they will confiscate your weapons. And I'm telling you, you know, now's the time. You may get your arms, you know, bought, you know, who knows? You never know. Eventually it'll happen. And I'd say also, if you want to buy precious metals, the market's ripe. If you've got precious metals you've been waiting to sell, or coins, do it. I mean, you know, it's a good time. I'm not going to lie. The opportunity is very, very, very ripe. So anyway, contact Coins Plus 444-0044 or toll free 877-TAP-COIN or through our website, coinsplus.com. Also, as I always say, Google reviews, free silver dollar, 5-star review, 3 reviews out on the internet, and you get 2 silver dollars. So thanks again for tuning in. Take care. God bless. And we'll be back Friday. Bye-bye.